May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Sermons should not always be the same style. We are different. Some worshippers may respond best to a well-reasoned case, appealing to the mind. Others will respond best to an example that relates to their experience. And some, when your emotions are touched. I always start my preparation with the Bible texts given for the day and try to be aware of the group of people I am to speak to. Today's sermon is more topical. The baptism of Jesus led him to a time of reflection and challenge in the desert before the start of his very special ministry. At the start of the year, when we are a bit less busy, we might reflect on what keeps us dedicated over a long time versus the increasing loss of faith and relevance in Australian culture now. But first, I want to quote Brother Roger, the fine Christian who started the ecumenical community of Teze in France after World War II. He wrote, "People who strive to surrender themselves to God, body and soul, let themselves be built up from within on the basis of a few simple truths from the gospel. Truths which at one time or another have touched them to the core. Why not summarise them briefly so that they can be called to mind at any moment? The fruit of much thought matured slowly and worked out over a long period of time. This summary most often takes shape in the midst of life's struggles. Once we have found it, it can carry us forward our whole life long." He goes on, "For those who are patient and who consent to this necessary process of maturing, the day comes when the core of their personality has been fashioned without their realizing it. There are days when it is hard to keep going, but without perseverance, our commitment wastes away. Perseverance is remaining faithful, even more in times of dryness than when faith breaks spontaneously into prayer. It is remaining true to a resolution we have made, and in this way, fervour and adoration will spring up once again." End of quote. Now, we are different personalities, and so we and others can have different approaches to our faith. There are two main ways Australian Christians have seen their beliefs as helpful in everyday life. One group, we can say, has access faith. Access faith, or vertical faith, helps them in giving access to a loving God. Their faith is personal and based on a relationship with God or with Jesus. The second group, we can say they have values faith. Values faith, or horizontal faith, helps them in giving them a set of values for life. There is less emphasis on a personal relationship with God and more emphasis on principles and rules to live by. Jesus is teacher, example or revealer. Let's take a closer look at these two groups to learn where your faith is strong and where it might benefit from strengthening. Now, two groups isn't quite enough. Each of the two groups has two subgroups. That gives us four groups, which is enough to be helpful to us today. They're not fixed boxes, and boxes do overlap. None of these are better or worse to the God who made us and knows us. So the first of these groups with access faith can be named conversionists. They approach faith with a view of the world as fundamentally evil. God rescues the believer from this wicked world. Jesus is seen firstly as Saviour, and they value highly the experience of being saved and having a personal relationship with God. For them, the church should be out saving people from the world. Evangelism is the real work of a Christian. The words of our baptism service show this approach well. We say, renounce the devil and all his works, repent of sin and turn back to Christ. This is very faithful to the Bible, but can be rather black and white. Either you are saved or you are not. The church is important as the gathered group of the saved, and it can be an exclusive group. This can make it harder to believe in Jesus' real humanity, to value ordinary work, to trust learning and reason, or to care about social justice issues. The second of the access faith groups also stresses personal access to Jesus. Faith is warm and personal. Jesus is a personal friend, an ever-present helper. They make less of an evil world. They respond to God's love with devotion. They enjoy a retreat. So they might be named devotionalists. Church attendance is important to express devotion. The communion service best represents this approach. A danger is that these people can become smug and self-righteous. They have a poor concept of God as majestic, holy, and judging. Social concerns have a lower priority. People in both those groups are great church attenders still, compared to the two groups in the values faith group, who have largely, not completely, but largely stopped coming. So we go to our third group, which approaches faith by seeing order in the world. God is almighty and creator. Christian responsibility is to live in accordance with God's structure, which means keeping the laws that have been given, physical laws and moral laws. Conventionalist might be a name for them. A personal relationship with God is not so important for them. The most important thing is keeping the Ten Commandments. The wedding service best expresses this theology. The institution of marriage is part of God's order. The couple come for God's blessing, not to be converted and renounce a wicked world, and for strength to fulfil the promises. The conventionalist has a healthy attitude to work. It's part of God's order. He or she has trouble, therefore, with the disorderly and the uncontrolled, such as miracles and the Holy Spirit. They may lack a sense of sin and its power in the world. They know worship is important, but don't attend so regularly. This approach doesn't give a motivation for mission, but it has its feet in touch with creation and the world. How are you going? Are you asleep or confused? I'm hoping this helps you to know yourself more and understand others who are not the same as you. Finally, I'll describe the principalists, who build their faith on ethics. They believe the world is basically a good place, not evil, and that goodness is the essence of human nature. Education is the answer for them, not redemption. It can be hard to tell the difference between their Christian beliefs and those of the world and culture. They may seem unsaved and don't believe attending is needed to maintain their faith. A small number of them see their faith in terms of social rather than personal ethics, so that they see the most important thing for them and the church is to work for social justice. Their contribution is that they stop the church from being too inward-looking and being complacent about the way things are in society. It can be easy to judge them, but they alone may have the necessary fire in the belly to start genuinely prophetic campaigns against the rest of those who know they are Christian but take their social responsibilities too lightly. They are those who try to reform the position of minority groups in the church. And they can be easily branded as secular, whose worldly ways must be resisted by the true church. We need the principalists. They have an understanding of continuing the work of Jesus in the world today. They can do works of compassion by the faith that is within them. They can help the church have the right to be heard again. So, as we conclude, we are one body of Christ here. Are you uncomfortable with some of what I said? It could be a growing point for you. Do you identify with some aspects of several of those approaches? You have probably grown as a disciple. All approaches have weaknesses and strengths. No one can be smug. Do you think the parish is concerned for both nurture and outreach? Does this point to where your gifts lie? It means we can give thanks to God for the grace given us that works in so many ways at Holy Covenant through so many different people.